go to sleep. Sleep is when your moms ain't safe up in the streets. Sleep is when I see you, guaranteed to be your posse.
We got beef.
We do have beef. Hello, everybody.
We got beef.
Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week's all NBA talk. Cueing the song, we may as well start off with, I guess, the latest NBA beef. That is James Harden versus Giannis Antetokounmpo. Oh, beautiful. Got that one hit.
Oh, no. The more you keep saying it, it just rolls off the tongue.
So, I'll let you break it down a little bit, and I'll throw in a couple of thoughts of what you think. I'm going to call it so-called beef, but anyway.
It's I don't know. It's a typical NBA beef. It's, you know, sort of like Twitter beef and, you know, beef through the media. I guess I think we're going to be saying beef a lot in the next little segment. So. Hope everybody's not hungry because there's going to be a lot of
steak right now.
A lot of beef talk. It stems back to before the All-Star game and the All-Star draft and the Giannis saying that he didn't really want to pick James Harden because all it is dribble 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 dribble.
Well, basically doesn't
pass and then. It wasn't even – I don't even think it was like a couple of days later. I don't know if James Harden asked for the interview with Rachel Nichols or it must have just been on the cards.
And
they were already going to do it and they just happened to start talking about it and James Harden comes out and is like, I wish I was 7 foot tall and just run and dunk. Like it takes no skill to do that and it's like, oh, man, here we go. Here we go. this is not going to end well, and it's not going to end well for James Harden.
Well, but didn't he also have a go? Because when they say, like you said, when Charles Barkley asked Giannis, why don't you pick dribbler between Kemba Walker and that, didn't he come back with a stat saying, well, I'm ranked 10th in assists and Walker's ranked 36 before All-Star break, so he doesn't see what the joke is.
No, well, that's right. Yeah, he's saying that he's, I'm a good ball distributor, right? Like, you know, I average more assists than what he does. And that, for me, is where a little bit stats can lie just a teeny bit. Like, he's – not to say that he's not a good ball distributor, but you look at the style of play that he plays as opposed to who I think is a real point guard in somebody like CP3, who does get – more people involved in the way that he plays and not just, a dribble and kick out because that's pretty much what Harden's game is. You know, dribble, kick out, dribble, dribble, get to the basket, step back three, more dribble, more step back threes, get to the free throw line. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing type game that he's playing at the moment, but he's doing it to the absolute best of his ability, and look at the numbers he's putting up.
And I mean, in Giannis's credit, like I think he's sort of brushing it off, like for the fact that
he knows it's BS. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, to run, it's all I do is run and dunk. That takes no skill at all. It's just that's shots fired, and then I'm pretty sure like the next night or the night after that, okay, granted it was against Charlotte, who are just awful, like who are advertised, like what we advertised at the start of the year, we knew Charlotte were going to be awful. He just puts up a casual 41 points and 20 rebounds. Like I said, granted it's against Charlotte, but the numbers
still
are what
NBA
they are.
Side. Still an NBA side.
No, that's right.
So.
Exactly. They've got NBA talent.
It's like you said, it's a classic like Twitter beef kind of thing. It's a weird beef, not so much like the two people that are involved, but just more like it's only coming from one person and not like, you know, it's not a back and forth kind of thing.
I like the confidence that James Harden's got in his ability and his game and everything like that and the way that he sort of goes about things and just sort of like he just brushes off. You know, the you know, the media content of, you know, the way that he plays the game at the moment. You know, and there's people yelling at him from the stands, or, you know, nobody wants to see a free throw shooting competition and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, well, don't, you know, he's unbelievable at getting to the cup. So yeah. If you don't foul him, then there's not a free throw shooting comp. Free throws are part of the game. They have been for the eternity of time. Free throws are a part of the game. You're not going to eradicate them. It's, you know, the, it's just, that's just, but it's part of the game.
I agree. I mean, like you said, like, it's, you know, it's not easy to get to the hoop all the time. It's just not. Like, I mean, can talk to anybody that plays basketball. It's not easy to get to the hoop. So if they can't stop him, they have to foul him. That's good for James Harden, not good for anybody. You know, they just,
not as if he sort of, you know, jumps up and hangs in the air and moves around and everything. It's just, he's a veteran now, you know. He's been in the league 11 years now.
Yeah.
You know, he can get up and under people. He knows how to draw contact, and he knows how to exploit the rules the way that they are written in today's modern NBA. And I don't see what everybody's problem with that is.
No, I don't either.
It's the rules of it's just the way that it's officiated, and he's a guy who's figured out this is how I can get my scoring numbers, and this is how I play my game.
Speaking of guys that can actually get to the hoop, the couple of games we were going to focus on this week were we'll start with our two teams, the Lakers and the Pelicans. Pretty much, no, I wouldn't say back to back, but pretty much playing back to back in the last week.
Yeah, played twice within a you know, pretty much a week sort of span. You know, it was like eight or nine days. They played in New Orleans and. Zion sort of had, I think he had 30, did he have 30, he had 35, and LeBron just has a nice casual sort of, you know, 41 point game, just to sort of, you know, put the young fella back in his place.
He had that
40-foot jumper from just past the halfway line after Zion absolutely murders Kyle Kuzma with a jam, and LeBron just comes down and it's just like, all right, I'm going to shut the crowd up, and just bombs it from 38 foot and just nothing but net. And everybody in the crowd's just like, oh, all right, very good. We'll just carry on. Like, both of those games have been fairly close, and, you know, New Orleans has definitely had the chance and the opportunities to get the win, but you know, in those clutch times, in that last 5 minutes when it's close, their youth and inexperience is showing.
I mean, while he only played one game out of those two, I felt it's possibly because Zion was there. Anthony Davis wasn't really the focus in that first one anyway. In LA, it's probably because in LA, but there was no, like, you know, focus on him because, you know, ex-Pelicans player. So,
was it. You know, he traveled to New Orleans for that primetime game on the Sunday night in the States.
Yeah.
But he didn't end up playing. Did he have a sore calf? One of the many ailments that Anthony Davis generally comes up with. So,
one of the many.
He hasn't been too bad this year, he's had shoulder problems in the past and things like that, but he hasn't actually been too bad with missing a lot of games. Like, he's been better the past, you know, three years as it comes to sort of, you know, injuries and him missing games.
Well, it's good when you've got two centers in Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee there. That's kind of...
No, well, and that's it too. He stated, even when he was in New Orleans, that he does not want to play center. And when New Orleans traded for Boogie Cousins a few years ago, he would have been like, oh, thank you. You know, he can play the five. I prefer to play the four. And now in LA, he's got two. Dwight Howard is having a super solid season.
Mm.
Bit triple S there. I think he's having a solid go this year. Like, he's how long has it taken him to, you know, to actually produce what he's been saying the last few years? Oh, I'm going to change my attitude. You know, I'm not going to be the focal point, where he went through, you know, four teams in 4 years. Every team that he went to, he was always going to change his tune and go, I shouldn't be getting, you know, 15 to 20 shots a game. He's just rim running and rebounding and blocking.
I personally think it was, and he'll sign a different contract next year, but that non-guarantee, because he's got money. I mean, he's got plenty of money, but yeah, that non-guarantee contract that he signed, not to put him in his place, but I think it sort of put him a step back and realized, well, you know, it's about my game, or me giving back to my game, which has helped. What I'm getting at, it's actually helped him. Hasn't been a hindrance. No, it's actually. What have you thought of just with our Lakers, Markieff Morris so far?
Solid, man.
Solid
pickup.
He is
the splitting image. He is the splitting image of his twin brother. Yeah. You know, no pun intended, but, you know, game wise as well, like they both play the same style of game. Like they've got a good ISO game, and they like a little bit of that mid range jumper. Like Marcus Morris likes the mid range jumper more than anybody, I think. But, you know, Markieff Morris is a solid dude. Yeah. You know, he's going to take a little bit of pressure off LeBron when defending other teams' better players or even bigger players. So, you know, LeBron doesn't take those body knocks as much. So that's going to be good for them. It just depends on how many minutes they want to play him, if they want to play him 15, 20 minutes.
Well, I think this is the perfect time. You know, Kuzma can move off the bench. This would be the perfect time to load manage Anthony Davis, because got his little injury. Well, maybe, because if you've got the injuries, Markieff's now solidly there. You know, he's taken DeMarcus Cousins' spot, who I don't know if he'll ever play again. But if Kuzma can move up to the starting five and load manage him,
there's going to be a team out there. Of course. Next year, that will take a chance on DeMarcus Cousins. They just will be. He's the latest model of Isaiah Thomas, you know, an injury derailing an extremely large payday for him. So he's going to be one of grabbing that money wherever he can. And you know, I just always just keep going back to. There's a team out there that will 100% take a fly on him. That, where we all know them as the team with 40 power forwards. I think the New York Knicks would absolutely take a flyer on DeMarcus Cousins.
Speaking of the Knicks, did you hear the little one that they were getting intel, so to speak, on Mr. CP3?
I do hear little whispers about taking on that $44 million a year. obviously unconfirmed rumors there. But
No, I get it because the way he's playing. I don't get it for the fact of, yes, it's a $44 million contract. And a lot of those 60,000 power forwards they signed over half of them were two-year contracts.
A lot of them are two years. Julius Randle, Taj Gibson. I'm pretty sure both
they're two or three years.
They were all 2 year deals. They're just going in for the short term at the moment. So very, very interesting little rumor floating around at the moment.
Well, it'll be he's had a wow of a season, so there's no doubt about it. You know, I wouldn't say it justifies a $40 million contract, but he's definitely had a lot of this season.
He's definitely doing his best to earn his money this year. Like, he's not just sort of hanging back and putting up mediocre numbers and on a poor team. Like, he's putting up decent numbers, and Oklahoma City are they sixth? So it's crazy what we never thought
that was going to happen, and it's because of him. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah, he is. He has definitely been the magic elixir there in OKC to sort of bring them back into, you know, semi-relevance after losing Paul George and Russell Westbrook at the start of the season, you know, in the off-season. So he's definitely kept them relevant as such. Just to sort of circle back around to that to the LA New Orleans game for it sidetracked a little bit. What have you seen the numbers of Brandon Ingram in the games now that he has played, you know, the four games now that he's played against the Lakers? They're not flattering. He had one good one. He went 12 for 20. I think it was the first game back in LA. He played inspired, but the three other games he hasn't been that great. I just whether he's just trying to prove a point, this is what I could have been for you. Do you know what I mean? And he was 5 for 23 against LA in New Orleans in this last game. You know, he's had four for 21 in his first game. I think it was in New Orleans at the start of the year. Then he had that good game in LA, and then even the last game that they played just last week, he was like 10 for 27. Yeah. So that's me. I think he's just sort of trying to get out there a little bit and say, hey, this is what I could have been for you. If you sort of, if you'd showed the faith in me and not thrown me away, but you know what I mean? Included me, I could have definitely been a centerpiece, in this offense rather than keeping Kyle Kuzma.
Do you think he stepped a little bit back, but since Zion started?
That was naturally going to happen. I think that was naturally going to happen because Zion's going to get they've got to get shots for him. Everybody's going to suffer a little bit, but Brandon is still, for me, the most improved player in the league. Mm-hmm. He's turning towards that mid-range jumper a little too much. He's in the mold of, he's in the mold of Kevin Durant. He's not Kevin Durant. He probably never will be Kevin Durant, but he's in that mold, slim dude, long arms. Man, he's got some long arms on him, and that's an advantage. He can get over the top of people fairly easily, whether it's a 3-point jump shot, whether it's a mid range jump shot, or getting to the hoop. So, his game has definitely come on, and also too, don't forget that JJ Redick is gone as well. They're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks. So that's a big loss for the Pels and their push. Their push towards that eight spot, which Memphis is doing their best to try and whittle away at the moment.
What I do like, just with the Pelicans before we move on, I am liking the Alonzo Ball Zion Williamson.
That was always going to be the exciting part of that, because you know what sort of a decent ball distributor like Lonzo is, and that was always there going to be the highlight reel. Not so much Drew Holiday. It was more Drew and Anthony Davis. This new incarnation of the Pels will be Lonzo Ball and Zion Williamson. They will be the highlight tandem.
And Lonzo really knows how to find him when he sort of does those. When he's sort of backing up into a power forward in the key, and then he just does those little sort of turnaround, and Lonzo can get into the ball right near the hoop.
No, that's right. He's an amazing ball distributor. Once he gets, and he's shooting a hell of a lot better, this year compared to previous years. He's got that jump shot looking nice and straight. He's burying triples. not like a Kevin Martin type jump shot where he sort of throws it in front of his face. Very bizarre.
I remember someone said it's like he's doing the Thriller dance before he shoots it, like the Michael Jackson Thriller dance. Just doing the little. The comedian said it's hilarious.
That's definitely a self-taught jump shot though.
What did you think of the crazy OT game between the Celtics and the Rockets?
Oh man, that was unbelievable. The end of that game, the Celtics had that well in hand that game. And then Houston just comes storming back in the fourth quarter and you know, made it a game and took the lead.
The third. Yeah.
Yeah, took the lead, and it's just like, what? Yeah, how are they gagging this away? Like, I get, you know, they haven't had Kemba Walker since the Celtics haven't had Kemba Walker since the All Star break, which is a little, I don't know, a little contentious, don't you think? Like, he was healthy enough to play the All Star break, has 4 days off, 5 days off, and now he hasn't played a game since.
And I looked back, he only played about 10-12 minutes in that All Star game too, so I don't know what's
that's a little funny, that one. We know Brandon Ingram was hurt going into the All-Star game, and I think he only got 8 minutes. I don't think there was too much news of him being sort of hurt and being, you know, being on some sort of restriction. So
that was just an
insane game finish, you know, the perfect missed free throw by Tatum, them getting the ball back, like that could have gone anywhere. They ended up getting the ball back. The Jaylen Brown triple that went down, and then it was complete madness.
Oh, almost minute was just a complete madness. It was just chaotic. I am liking the way Robert Covington sort of fitting into the Houston Rockets lineup. It sort of seems to be, I wouldn't say smooth, but seamless enough transition.
No, well, that's fair enough. And he's actually getting, he's averaging more rebounds than what Russ is. That, you know, he's taking up that load of a, you know, somebody's got to get the rebounds, but, you know, his rebounding numbers have ballooned a bit, you know, since he's gone to Houston. So, he's essentially the perfect fit there for what Houston wants to run.
We had a double-double in that game, 16 points, 16 rebounds.
That's right. It's, how is he getting 16 rebounds like that?
They don't have a center. That's
how. That's Westbrook's job. That's Westbrook's deal on those rebounds. Like, that's it. Once Capella left, I would have thought Russ's rebounding numbers would have went up by about 8 rebounds per game.
How the hell did Jaylen Brown get that shot in Zenit to OT? I still can't work out.
Crazy.
It was absolutely crazy. And then it's just like it every time in OT, it felt like such a dower. I don't know, I'm just that, like, you know, when you get into OT and you think it's exciting and that, and it ends up being just basically anticlimactic.
For the first, say, two and a half minutes of overtime, it was very compelling and close. But then, Houston just sort of pushed away a little bit. And that was a top win. Yeah, top win for them on the road. Against a Celtics team who have been ascending over the last month or so, and just on that hot streak of Jason Tatum at the moment. Like, he's just been on an absolute tear in the month of February. Like, his numbers have been crazy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say hesitant, but I wasn't completely sold on Jason Tatum, I guess, as their sort of lead player. Drafted third pick in the first round.
Third round.
Third pick in the first round. I think I wasn't completely sold on him, and it's possibly because Kyrie was there. You know, there could have been a lot of reasons.
That's right. The regression last year, after his good rookie campaign, and he regressed a lot over that last year, and whether he was unhappy, at the start of this year he went and worked out with Kobe, and you could definitely see that
in
his game at the moment. Like, he ain't passing to nobody. Like he is. If you want to say anything about the hashtag Mamba mentality, like man, he just ain't passing it to nobody, and he has just been like he's made the most threes this month, or you know in the month of February. So 4.3
threes per game in the month. Like so his stats for the player of the month of February were 30.7 points, 7.9 rebounds, 3.2 assists.
Yeah,
4.3 points made.
I would have thought he'd been like 1.3 assists. Like how is he getting 3 assists?
I don't know. Considering the other player that's got the player of the month is getting 10.1 assists a game still, which is crazy. And LeBron James, that's oh my god,
he's leading the league in assists.
He is leading the league in the assists. I still think it's Giannis, but God, that guy is, you know, still is like nearly pushing himself right into the MVP conversation,
which I didn't think was going to happen. There's a lot of talk about it, but. It's Giannis's to lose. Like that, I don't see unless you know LeBron just has some sort of insane, you know, tear towards the end of this season and pushing into the playoffs. That he takes that mantle from Adetokounmpo. But I think Adetokounmpo is like $1.15 to win the MVP. So usually. Not so much, you know, bettors as in, you know, regular bettors, but when the sharks out there that have got the bulk money and the price comes in that much, then you know, it's Giannis will be the MVP.
Yeah. I think there's no doubt about Giannis will be the MVP. Before we move on to sort of news, the other one I was sort of was gonna talk about was the I wouldn't say it's an ascension, but the Clippers sort of starting to come good at the right time now.
Paul George needs to prove that he can stay healthy.
Yep.
But this is the time of year that they're built for, that they'll be geared up to play. They've been impressive, and that's I mean they're even still winning games. Without Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Either both of them or just one of them in the lineup. They've got as much depth on the bench as anybody in the league at the moment, and that is certainly going to help them come playoff time. When you've got guys like Montrezl Harrell, Landry Shamet, Lou Williams, Pat Beverley, he's not coming off the bench, but Pat Beverley when he's healthy, Marcus Morris. They've got depth.
They have depth, and just like about 5 hours ago, they just signed another depth player to a 10-day contract in Joakim Noah. So literally 5 hours ago, has signed with the Clippers, 10-day contract. But God,
Joakim Noah, what do they want with him?
Yeah. Well, I don't know because it's only a 10-day contract, so
He's not going to get no minutes. Who are they going to take minutes off? Zubac and Montrezl Harrell? Where's his minutes coming from?
I don't know because that'll be their final open roster spot taken. So I don't know.
That's a head scratcher.
It's a head scratcher, but they do have depth. Like back to what you said, they do. There's definitely depth there, and they're just coming good at the right time. Except as you said, Paul George. If he stays healthy, they're going to be – well, I think they're already scary over the Lakers. I mean, they've proved it over the Lakers. They keep proving it over the Lakers so far. The Lakers haven't beat them yet.
That's right. Exactly. And they play next weekend or, the weekend coming up. I think that'll be the fourth time they played this year. So
yeah.
It'll be the third time because they had to postpone that game. In the wake of a certain helicopter crash. That'll be interesting to see when they actually reschedule that because that'll be tough to sort of push in. That'll be a back-to-back game or a three games in 4 days that they didn't really bank on. That'll be interesting to see how they sort of handle that.
It's going to be interesting to see how a lot of things are going to handle the NBA if this so-called coronavirus keeps spreading everywhere. We won't go into it too much, but There's already happening. You know, it's already happening in the Italian Premier League.
It's happening in Japan.
The South by Southwest with their baseball season. Yep. South by Southwest just got cancelled. Now they're talking Coachella. You know, but I think it's because it's big crowded areas. So it will be.
That's right. You know, and I hope, you know, after we finish recording this pod, I hope you're getting out to your local Woolworths or Coles and partaking in the absolute panic that is buying toilet paper.
My God, I don't get it.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that. Like, that's just that, you know, people out, that's just pure insanity. Like, that's pure insanity.
Your IQ must be below 150, like negative 150 if you're buying toilet paper. I don't, like, the whole world is laughing at Australia because no other country is going out and buying loads of toilet rolls. It's on every news outlet that we're just
we aren't idiotic,
but the people that are going, where do they think this coming from? It comes from Adelaide. That's where the toilet paper and rolls are made, in Adelaide.
And that factory is going burko at the moment, and people are getting overtime and everything to keep that factory running, because where this lunacy came from that. It's crazy. What is the point? What's the point behind it?
Maybe there was a stock market shortage, or stocks were down in toilet paper, so they had to beef it up.
It's crazy. There's that word beef again. It's madness.
If the media should be helping anybody, they should be helping the Corona beer and just saying it's got no association. Drink as much beer as you can.
How funny is that, man? Like that,
they've lost
20% are going down. That is just. Oh yeah, I heard sort of an opinion about that. Yeah, with stupid Americans buying a beer that they go, oh wow, cool, it's got a lime in it, like, and it's the radio show that I like to listen to, and they didn't confirm or deny that the reason that they put the lime in the top of it was to stop flies getting in there in Mexico. That's the reason why they put why they started putting the lime in there in the first place, was to stop flies getting in there, not to make it taste better, you know, not to make it look cool. It was to stop dirty, stinking flies getting in the top or getting into your beer. And then all of a sudden, Americans going, oh, wow, look at that. That's a nice look. Nice boutique beer. Let me be clear. Corona tastes like absolute shite. I don't know where all this rubbish come from that all of a sudden everybody wants to buy and drink Corona. When I first was introduced to Corona, and that was at least 20 years ago, the place that I used to work at used to call it Mexican bat piss. And my opinion of it has not changed in 20 years. It is disgusting.
I mean, it's not the best. I wouldn't say it's the worst. It's not the worst beer I've tasted, but it's definitely not the best beer I've tasted
I don't get the so-called hype around Corona. It's just not a nice tasting beer, like, one bit.
Oh, no. But, oh, well, they're, you know, having their name associated with the deadly virus is just killing them big time. Poor guy.
Absolutely destroyed.
Well, speaking of destroyed, I wouldn't say the team imploding, but an owner imploding over himself is Mr. Dolan of the New York Knickerbockers. He's now, like, say, well, we won't go into the whole Charles Oakley thing, but I wouldn't even call it a feud, but basically Spike Lee has, apparently he's been using, he's been going to those games for 20 years. He's a season ticket holder currently. I don't know if he's going to keep being a season ticket holder, but he's been using the same employee entrance for 20 plus years. And then apparently all of a sudden, and it's everywhere if you have a look of it. All of a sudden they said, no, you've got to start using the VIP celebrity entrance. And he said, no, because I've got to walk two blocks around. I've been using it 20 years. You've never said anything. And then it's escalated when Dolan's come down and seen him, I think, on the courts during the game. I think he ended up being on ESPN, I believe, with Stephen A.
He went on First Take the next day.
Yeah, and he went to town. He was not happy at all. He didn't go to town on, like, you know, there's no, like, he got singled out or any, like, I'm not going in a race or anything like that. It was just that he did get singled out. It was just nothing's changed for him. He doesn't understand why he had to go through a different entrance, which is true. If he's been doing the same thing,
that's right. But I think a lot of the thing sort of came from is they changed some sort of policy or changed some sort of way that people enter the building now. He's a guy that's there every game. Like, if you've got any obligation to tell somebody that the entrance that you use all the time is going to be changed and you cannot use it anymore, then that's the guy you tell. Do you know what I mean? Like, you try and get in contact with him. That this couldn't have been an on the fly decision that they go, okay, today's the day that we're going to change this way that people enter the building. You get in contact with him, you know, via his representatives, via an email, by you know, mobile phone. Like,
there's a thousand ways. Get
in contact with him by Twitter.
Yeah. Like,
just do something to let him know, because, you know, through thick and thin, you know, who's the guy that's always front row center in most New York Knicks games and is, you know, has been an advocate for the Knicks for forever. It's Spike Lee. You know, when you associate fans with teams, you know, Jack Nicholson,
Lakers.
LA Lakers, Billy Crystal, LA Clippers, yep. Spike Lee, New York Knicks. Like, that's just what it is.
And they estimated, so he's been going to games for 28 years. And he's in on season tickets, he spent an estimated $10 million then in that 28 years.
He spends like $300,000 a year.
You're right. It's laughable that they, you know, anyone, well, clearly Dolan knows what he looks like because he went and met him on the court. Like, anybody could have, you know, told
everybody,
him.
Everybody knows. Yeah, that's right. Everybody knows what Spike Lee looks like. It's just, I don't know. It's a very, you know, it's a very Nick story, like, they just can't get out of their own way at the moment. What have they got? 18 wins on the season.
They
don't have a coach at the moment, so they're going to be during the off season. They're going to be extremely busy with, you know, who are we going to take in the top five in the lottery again? How many more power forwards are coming onto the market that we can sign? I don't think they've got enough, so they should probably go out and at least sign two more.
It would be chaotically stupid if they draft a power forward or a center.
They take James Wiseman.
Oh my god! As dumb as it sounds, if
he's there and available, wherever the Knicks pick, you've got to take him. What? You've got to take him.
I don't know. If it was for the Knicks, no, I would say no. But that's
start taking phone calls on Taj Gibson and Bobby Portis. Like, you just, if you're Leon Rowe, who is the newly appointed, you know, basketball operations for the Knicks, who's a former agent, so he's got, you know, he's got ties around the league. You just start taking
CP3 being one of his former employees.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I've heard rumors that they're gonna start sniffing around Karl Anthony Towns.
That would actually be very interesting. I kind of like that idea.
It's not gonna happen first because he's not a power forward. So, like, let's just rule that out straight away. But in saying that, like, what's Minnesota thinking then? Like, you know, they're just they've dumped Wiggins, who's a number one pick, and then you think about dumping Karl Anthony Towns as another number one pick. Like, what are they thinking? If you know, it's, I mean, all rumors, but you know, where does that leave Minnesota? Are we going to build around D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, I don't know, because they're going to have a top five pick too, so I don't.
Right.
I don't. I kind of, in my head, I was always thinking for the Knicks, and shoot me if you will. I always thought maybe if they land, they might sniff after LaMelo Ball.
Oh, well, yeah, all right, that'd be...
Kind of makes sense.
He'd be a bit of an attraction there for New York, and, you know, might be able to get some fans back in the arena.
And how he plays, it kind of makes sense. I don't know if they want to bring all the... I don't know how much association his father has with him, but all that hype, but... Yeah, no, you're right. If Wiseman's there, you're right. I mean, it's probably too hard to pass up.
You got to take him. I think you just do.
Other news coming out was Mark Cuban getting fined about the same amount of money he has in his middle console, $500,000.
If there was 500 grand on the ground, he wouldn't bend over to pick that up.
Pretty sure he keeps it in his front console in his car.
He would have said, you want that in cash? I'll just go to the glove box. I'll just grab it out for you now.
Obviously it was against criticizing the referee after that loss to Atlanta Hawks.
There
was not much sort of to go into. I just don't. I mean, like, I think you mentioned just before we got on the pod, he's up to $2 million now in fines.
That's chump change for him. But that's Mark Cuban. He's an outspoken dude. Like, he don't care.
No, he doesn't care. But I suppose, look, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't criticize referees. Like, it's in any sport.
No, that's right.
You're going to get fined.
Excessive though? Like $500,000? I think that's a little excessive.
Imagine if it was NRL and someone criticized a referee and they got fined.
Oh
half
my
a
god,
million.
They got pinged $5,000. Holy moly!
Yeah, for imagine if it was $500,000, they would be way more overblown than what this is. But
you would definitely be appealing that fine. I think the NRL, they get fined like $10,000 or $15,000.
And people still blow up about that. Yeah, I think it's $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, I would too.
Possibly.
$10,000.
Yeah.
Imagine the kind of holiday you could have at $10,000.
The other couple, well, that's just true. The other couple for me were, looks like Yusuf Nurkic will be back within the week. Blazers are eyeing him coming back on March 15th.
So I guess a couple of high profile people that are about to come back. Steph Curry's about to come back. He's ready to go this week. Golden State have said, and yeah, now Yusuf Nurkic, and is it obviously it's too late for Golden State to sort of, you know, be any yeah. sort of any sort of anywhere near the eight spot. But what this will do and help Portland in their push towards snaring that eight spot, which, yeah, like I said before, you know, Memphis are doing their best to sort of gag away. They've lost five straight since the All-Star break, and before the All-Star break, they're just not playing very well at the moment. Ja Morant's trying to dunk on everybody humanly possible and not succeeding. And everybody's losing their mind at it. That non-dunks are now a thing and a highlight nowadays. Like, yeah, let's just settle down, people. Like, did he dunk on somebody? No, then it's not a highlight.
I was waiting. The two things I was laughing. I was waiting for you to say that, and they're gagging on their losses. you could have said something about beef.
They've got to pick it up, man. They have got four teams. They have got four teams chasing them.
I'm telling you now, if Yusuf Nurkic, comes back and plays the way he think he finished on, I had it down here, 15.6 points and 10.4 rebounds before his injury last season. I could see, because they don't have a massively hard run coming home. The Trailblazers, there's only three games behind.
It's going to be how he sort of works back in. It'll be what sort of minutes he played. You know, when you think of the two guys that have had those, or three guys that have had those, you know, horrendous injuries, whether it's, you know, the dislocated ankle or you know, the broken lower leg like that, you know, whether it was a Caris LeVert, Paul George, and Gordon Hayward, you know, who have had just those horrific lower body injuries, and when they come back from them, it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough. I think he's coming back at the right time because they've still got 10 to 20 games sort of left, maybe 16 games left. So if he can get healthy enough, I mean, they've got to make the 8, of course, but I don't know. I just think having him back and the way the Grizzlies are faltering a little, I could see them sort of sneaking into the 8 more than the more than the Grizzlies staying there.
Yeah, like I said, you know, there's been a few hot and cold teams around the league at the moment. You know, Memphis is obviously sort of dropping off a little bit. Miami, you know, before and after the All-Star break, I sort of, you know, did my own little bit of research. I didn't steal any of these stats from, you know, Fox Sports or ESPN or anything like that. But since they beat Philly on the 3rd of February, which is a long time ago now, they've lost 7 of 9. You know, and this is over the All-Star break as well, so that's probably inflated a little bit, you know, time-wise, because that All-Star weekend and everything was 8 to 9 days. Since beating Philadelphia on the 3rd of February, they've lost 7 of their last 9, which is, and they've gone on these really weird sort of runs of wins and losses. They've sort of had. Since they won 4 straight, then they lost 5 straight, then they won 4 straight, and then they've lost 4 straight. So they're going in streaks at the moment. So it's bizarre the way that they're doing things at the moment, Miami. So they won't really want to lose too much ground on that 4 spot.
No.
They've got some high, you know, they've got some high profile games coming up, but I think they'll be fine, you know, especially the way that they've been playing lately, and you know, the way that they've been playing against Miami, against Milwaukee. So they seem to have their number at the moment. So that's a good thing when it comes around to the playoffs. But you know, the playoffs are a different beast as it is.
Well, the other team, speaking of hot teams at the moment, is the Utah Jazz.
That's right, and they're doing the same thing. They're going in and out.
Yeah.
As well with sort of being a bit streaky in their wins and losses. So, it's the same thing,
same thing you said. It's like we've always said they had the team that had like we said at the start of the season. They had the team, they had the depth, that they're doing what they should be doing now. But you're right, they go, you know, they'll lose 4, they'll win 4. There's really no pattern to it.
No, they've just got to be more consistent. And you know, they had that run, yeah. Utah had that run of, you know, coming out of the All-Star break with all those home games, and they lost 4 of them.
Yeah,
that's a time there, you know, to sort of stamp your authority and to start and begin a good run. And they had, you know, they had some ordinary teams that they were playing as well, you know, teams that are out of the 8 and everything, and they're losing.
Yeah.
You know, they need to wake up from this post All-Star slumber, and you know, start putting a stamp of authority on that third, you know, the fourth spot, try and get home court advantage. Yeah, they're battling against Houston.
Yeah.
For that fourth spot. So they need to wake up and to get rolling.
There's a couple if the final started today, there's a couple of really interesting matchups that I'd like to sort of see. Just if the final started today, it'd be very, very interesting. This is the dynamics of the two teams. We won't go into it too much, but yeah, it'd be the 76ers is probably the one that stands out to me and who they'd come up against. It's just
you can pencil in Philadelphia for 2 losses on the road straight up. So
10-23 is their away record. My godfather.
Yeah, and they,
I'm the best home record. Yeah.
Two losses at home.
They have the best home record.
Yeah. I think we said this last week. It's just, yeah, just full Jekyll and Hyde. It just, you know, and now, yeah, and that's the other thing. Now that Joel Embiid's out as well. Yeah, you know, he had a shoulder. He got that shoulder injury against Cleveland earlier in the week, and you know, now that he's out, so there's no Simmons, there's no Embiid, so it's just it's just like righto, Tobias Harris, lead us to the promised land.
Speaking of he is a Jekyll and Hyde player. Embiid,
yeah,
can go streaky, can get injured, then comes out and does 39 points. Like he's just
he had 49 points against Atlanta. And then, 2-3 days later, he gets he's on a high, and then he gets hurt against Cleveland. It's Cleveland.
Oh, leave Cleveland alone.
And they ended up losing in Cleveland.
Poor Drummond. Man,
Cleveland.
Poor Drummond. Drummond's just like poor.
All he's got to do is just keep putting up them numbers and go. Yeah, at the end of the season, go right. Anybody put his hand up? Anybody want me? Anyone at all?
Surely he won't opt. He won't opt into his player option. Surely he won't do that. Okay. I know it's a guaranteed $29 million, but surely he won't opt in.
Can he play power forward? Maybe the Knicks want him.
he could actually play power forward. I don't think he. Although he'd be I don't know. It depends who they pick. Yeah. I don't get the love of power forwards. Power forwards and beef. That's all.
That's mean the Knicks are gonna have money. They'll have money.
They will have money.
They'll have money, and they already have power forwards. So what's better than four power forwards? That's six power forwards.
Beefy power forwards. That's what I want to finish it on.
In a game where Houston are playing nobody in their starting lineup above like 6 foot six. So maybe Houston and New York can sort of come to an agreement with some sort of trade. Yeah, say, hey, we've got some heights, some bigs for you. Like, yeah, just let's make a deal.
Yeah, who the hell are they gonna take? They'll probably take anybody. I'll probably take Eric Gordon in their starting lineup. But anyway, this is the Knicks. So. that'll do it, I guess, this week for the NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter, which is at the Final Play Pod.
Happy days. So, yeah, some big matchups coming up this week as well.
Massive matchups.
We've got the two All-Star captains going head-to-head at the end of the week. Yep. Milwaukee and LA in LA, and also the Lakers and Clippers as well over the weekend. So,
aren't they hyping the Bucks and the Lakers game big time?
Oh, yeah. What
game of the year? They're really... Every little thing I've gone onto any website where it's got NBA related, that's all I've seen is just
that's
game.
That's
gonna
what they
be.
Want.
So
yeah, the MVP and the MVP chaser. So, we'll see.
Well,
see how that sort of pans out. Well, yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah, no,
possibly,
I was going to say possibly also
defensive
the,
player of the year.
Well, I was going to say possibly the final, the two finals
final,
teams.
Well, could be the finals
in the West,
as well.
Could be, yeah, but we'll see.
And the Lakers there, the Lakers looking at Dion Waiters as well. So let's see how much Dion Waiters is going to derail their season.
Please no. if he gets streaky, I'll be happy. But you know, as long as he doesn't have any party boats or whatever the hell he does.
As long as he stays off Waiters Island and. Stays off the marijuana infused gummies, then let's see what Dion Waiters can bring to the table.
The problem is in LA. There's too many.
Too many distractions, man.
Distractions in LA.
It's like Miami. It's like Miami. There's too many distractions.
Miami's to be more of a distraction than LA, but
I can't see that. I can't see that working out at all. But you know.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm only thinking he's doing it for cover. They're doing it for cover of Danny Green. He's sort of having that niggling injury at the moment. So, but yeah, it's not a we'll see. I know it's not going to end well.
It's
not
for
the Lakers, but for Dion Waiters.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's Yeah, like you said, you know, is Dion Waiters has been a teammate of LeBron before, so you know, can LeBron sort of get the best out of him and sort of get him to settle down a little bit? But yeah,
it was just such a high prospect. Like he was.
Oh yeah, Dion Waiters when he came out of college, holy hell!
He was picked fourth. That's right, he was picked fourth. Like it.
Yeah, man.
He was a massive. Yeah, He was highly touted.
He had a huge reputation coming out of college.
And, yeah, that went nowhere.
Well, not that it didn't go nowhere, but yeah, he's definitely not lived up to the hype.
Nah, definitely not. Well, have a good week, anyone. My name's Jason. I'm not going to say that. I'll just say Beef Smith.
Miles Waiters Island Plum. So, we'll see how we go. Yeah, but I mean, it's all about beef. It's all about beef this week. So let's just get a few more beef words in before we finish off. So yeah,
sounds like we're at beef week at Rockhampton or something. Just bring beef up every 5 minutes because it's beef week.
Yeah, it's just like a whole week of beef.
Oh, that if you ever go to that, it is a whole week of steak and beef everywhere. Even like the Telstra stores and all that get into it. It's beef-a-rama everywhere.
Beef-a-rama and Rocky.
Beef-a-rama. have a good week, everyone. See ya.
See ya. Beef.